Father God, we invite you this morning. Commune with us. Spend time with us. Fill us with your joyous presence. We come here, Lord, praising you because you're a God of hope. You're a lighthouse. You are indeed our Father, our Savior, and above all, we're gracious and thank you for this love that you give us. We praise you, dear Father, because you are with us in every step of our way in our lives. This morning, dear Lord, we uplift to you those who are not feeling well, who are discouraged. We praise you, dear Father, because of your healing power in their lives, and we are thankful that you care for them. Father God, I praise you too for your Savior, your Son, who came to save us. Praise you too, dear Father, because your unending presence in our lives. And Lord, you give us hope. Our hope is built on nothing less but our living Savior. Father God, I pray especially that you would be the young people who are visiting us today in their final year of school. Bless them as they finish and as they go on, dear Lord. Guide them. And we pray too, dear Father, for those still following in their footsteps. Be with the young people at our school, our teachers, Doug and Carol. Bless them as they lead them and point them always to you, to Jesus. Father, we pray this morning especially that you would be with Brother Doug as he brings us the message. His sermon asks the question, losing hope? No, Lord, a hope is built on you. For you have promised, O Lord, that you have a plan for us for the future, a plan for goodness, not for disaster. And you have also promised that if we pray, you will hear. If we seek you wholeheartedly, you will find us. And Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for that graciousness in you. Fill us now with your presence, dear Lord, and we give you all the glory in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture today is found in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
Am I on? Do you ever talk to yourself? You don't have to answer that. Do you ever answer? You ever ask yourself to repeat yourself? This morning, I apologize. You guys get to listen to me talk to myself. I hope it's helpful for you. My message this morning has been one that has been coming to me, and God has been talking to me. That said, I'm not sure that my message this morning is as polished and as finished as I wish it would be. But I want to share with you this morning some things that God has been sharing with me. And so as I talk to myself today, or as God talks to me today, I hope that you hear something that is helpful for you too. That in mind, let's pray together. Father in heaven, I am so grateful for your word. I am so grateful that you continue to talk into the lives of each one of us. And you know I am hardly worthy to stand here this morning and share with any of your people. And yet you asked me to do that. And so I ask that you speak through me, you shut up my ideas, and you share your ideas. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, I shared a sermon based in faith. Dan, am I doing something wrong with my mic? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay. Correct me if I need to be corrected. I'll fix it if I can. Okay. So a few weeks ago, I shared a sermon on faith. We talked about what faith is, and I was drawn to the text at the end of 1 Corinthians 13 that said, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so I thought, well, I spent time talking about faith and studying about faith and looking at faith, and so why don't we talk about hope today? All right. One of the thankless jobs in a church is the person who sits in the very back room back there and makes the magic happen. So thank you, Dan, for that. So I chose to look today at hope. And it's a huge topic. One that there's no way that we can really parse and dissect in a way in the time that we have together this morning. So I want to look at some aspects of hope, and we are going to spend some time in our Bible today. And we are going to be moving kind of rapidly through our Bible and looking at texts related to hope. And there will be comments made, but I will try and keep my comments really to a minimum today. But I want to start with really the big question. So in teaching, I want to look oftentimes, what is the big question about hope? What is the big question about hope? What do I really need to know about hope? And there's probably a variety of answers to that question. But for me, it came down to what's the point of all this? We live in a world. We exist. Lots of things going on. And what is the point of all this? And where do I find my hope? And so this morning, I want to start looking at some places where people do find hope or think they find hope. And oftentimes, this hope comes in places that offer nothing. Offer nothing. Four places that you may not find hope, but lots of people do. And the lots of the people we're going to be talking to in our life find their hope in this. And the first one, since it's so common today, I'm going to start picking on government. People, you may not, I do not, find hope in government, but people do find hope in government. And so I wanted to go to Scripture and look at government together. So before we go very much further, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. If you're not sure where to find Titus, in the New Testament, all of the books that start with T are all bundled together. I'm sure that that was intentional. Titus chapter 3, the first five verses. I thought about stopping with one, but figured the next four were important as well. And it goes like this. And he's talking to, giving instructions to elders. So I'm not an elder, but I'll pretend to be one today. It says, remind them, so I'm reminding you, to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appearing, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So, that's where we start about government. Recognize it. Be submissive. Do everything peaceably. Recognizing that we started out in a bad place. But government is not going to save us. It can't. It's not in the saving business. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm standing up front and my fingers have a little bit of a shake to them. I don't know. You guys might be scary. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in the United States. No, that's not what it says. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm part of my country. I love my country. But I need to remember that my country comes second, maybe not even that, below my citizenship in heaven. My God and King rules and reigns, and He is supreme. One more text. So, I love finding grace in the Old Testament. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. As a Seventh-day Adventist, one of our claims is we find Jesus throughout all of Scripture. And sometimes, I know people Now, I wouldn't say this group. People avoid the Old Testament. So here it is. Government. And you'll recognize the text. Well, I probably don't even need to read it. For unto us a child is born. Every Christmas we hear this. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our hope is not in government. Our hope rests only in God, who is the true government. So maybe, if our hope is not in government, I can go back a couple of years and I can, we don't hear this much anymore, but we need to not rely on government, but we need to pull ourselves up. We need to work hard. I think the phrase has been used, pull myself up by my bootstraps. I don't have bootstraps, but I think I understand the idea. That if I'm going to get something in this life, I've got to rely on me to make it happen. Have you heard that before? Maybe just me. Honestly, I like the phrase. There's a comfort in that. Maybe you don't, and that's good, but I'm attracted to that idea. That if I get something, it's because I've worked for it, and because I deserve it. So can I rely on myself for hope? If you've ever tried it, you've discovered that it is a hollow, hollow thing. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 24 to 26. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's go from there right over to Galatians. So, right over to Galatians. Galatians 2:20. I specifically didn't put markers in my Bible where all of these texts are found to make sure that we all have time to get there. So you're probably turning your Bible a little faster than I can today, so we'll all get there about the same time. So Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live," so myself is gone, "but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I give up myself in exchange for Jesus." Jumping back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17:9. It gives me a clue as to where I'm starting. Jeremiah 17:9. Your fingers will be tired by the end of today, because we're going to be doing a lot of this. Jeremiah 17:9 is also a great way of not going to sleep. Says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." That's where I'm starting. "And desperately wicked, who can know it?" Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Where am I starting? What do I have to offer? What do I put into this whole thing? I put into it a deceitful heart. I'm going to fool myself. That's what deceit is. I'm going to think that I might have it all together if I start with myself. So, finding hope in myself is a bad place to start. How about, this is related to myself, so it's still kind of in the same boat, but what about my bank account? I tell you what, when there's shekels in the bank account, it feels kind of good. When I have enough, I am tempted to relax. God gives wealth. We find lots of wealth in the Bible. And God uses and blesses. But there is a danger with that. If I put my hope, if my hope comes from, I can take care of it, I can pay for it, I don't really need to stress here. I'm in a dangerous place. Luke 12:15, real quick. We're going to do two texts that relate to this, because I don't think that we're necessarily arguing the point. But let's take it from Scripture. Luke 12:15 says it very, very straight up. Jesus is presented with a problem of an inheritance, you know, and my brother and I got this inheritance and we're not sure how to split it up, and I want my share and he wants his share. Actually, I want both, and so does he. And we're not sure how to figure this one out. And they come to Jesus hoping for an easy answer, and here's what he says. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Yeah. Matthew 6:21 says, where your heart is, there's your treasure. So if my hope is in my bank account, is in my wealth, whether I have it, you know, people who don't have wealth struggle with the same thing. I wish I had more. If my hope is in my bank account, it's a fleeting thing. It comes and goes. So maybe I've got it. I can't put my hope in government. I can't put hope in myself. My bank account's not going to save me. But how about church? Can I put my hope in my church? Ooh. I want to say I hope so, but no. Because if you're any bit of a study of history, you know that putting your hope in church has been a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. So I refer you to the entire saga of the Dark Ages. I won't give you a lecture today. But that was hope in church. And it didn't turn out well for millions of people. And I'd like to say that our church, hope in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, would be different, but it is not, friends. Our hope is not in a denomination. Our hope is not in an organized church. I love my church. I am an Adventist twice. I was born into it. and I chose it. And I'd choose it again. But that is not, my church is not enough to save me. And my hope then is not in my church. And the Bible does give us some warnings about our hope in church. Very quickly, turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. So, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And here we go with that deceive word again. Let no one deceive you by any means. Don't be fooled. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This, without spending a lot of time parsing this one out, the man of sin comes into the church. Into the church. And deceives many. We won't go there because you guys know the text well. Daniel 7:8 talks about a little horn that comes up and speaks boastful words. Yeah. Little horn was the church. The organized church. I want to turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. And I have to say, I laughed at this one. This one made me smile. The verbiage that Paul uses here, I found amusing. Maybe you will too. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's us, actually. And the they is referring to the people coming after. So we are in that group. So I hope that it's not referring directly to us there. But according to their own desires, for they have itchy ears. Itchy ears. That made me smile. And they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears away from the truth, and they will be turned aside into fables. So we need to be very careful. Itchy ears are... I've had itchy ears before. I want something new. It's taken me into some very strange places, to be perfectly honest. Ask me about it sometime. So, we have four things here. We've got government's not going to provide hope. Myself provides no hope. My bank account provides no hope. And even my church doesn't provide ultimate hope. So, I guess we better get to what does. What do you guys hope for? I asked that question of a group of people, a cross member group of our cross section of our church here, and I got one resounding response. Okay? We hope and desire that our children will be close to Jesus. Yeah? And there was a long silence, like we were done. That was it. It was interesting, actually. I had it on my list of things that I wrote down, things that I hoped for. That was right near the beginning, right near the top. And I was surprised. Shouldn't have been. But I was surprised. When I asked the question, I got the response, and the silence that followed meant that we had to think about what else we might hope for. That's a big one. That's a big one. Okay? I want to spend eternity with my kids. Your parents want to spend eternity with you. Okay. That is huge. And we thought a little farther. Some other things came out. Someone mentioned that they want their will to be subject to God's will. That is a hope. They want to move through life led by the Holy Spirit. Hope that Jesus comes soon. And sometimes, though, our hopes may be just a little more temporal. I hope I passed the test that I didn't study for. I've hoped that. And God reminded me that He gave me time to study. Sometimes I did pass the test I didn't study for. If I'm in Texas this morning, I hope that my power comes back on, or that my power stays on. Honestly, I think that we might even hope that in Brewster. That's a little temporal, but I hope I recover from this illness. Mm-hmm. Hope my marriage survives this crisis. Hope my car starts. I hope I'm able to support my family. I hope it's not cancer. I hope, yeah, you can all fill one in there, can't you? Maybe a few. You know, God is not a God of, I mean, He is a God of those great big things out there. And those are really important to Him. But God really, really gets excited about dealing with the little stuff. Or maybe it's huge in your world, but maybe small in terms of the universe. I don't know. But those things that happen in our life, that happen in my life, remember, you guys are listening to my own conversation here, that seem overwhelming, that seem like maybe God doesn't really care. Those are the places where God says, I've got you. I've got you. Your hopes are incredibly important to God. I hope there's something after all this. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. So Seth read it very beautifully. Let's look at it again. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I'm going to read 11 through 13 right now. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's speaking to a group of people who've lost everything or are going to lose everything very shortly. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. There's something else beyond this. Turn over. Let's head to the New Testament. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. In that portion of your Bible between Hebrews and Revelation that is sometimes hard to find things. 1 Peter chapter 1. 3-5. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys ever realize that God the Father loves you? That He's looking out for you? We know that Jesus is. But I get in my Bible and I got right there that God the Father is looking out for me as well. According to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Does God care about my anxieties, my concerns, the little things? This morning we were in Isaiah 40 in Sabbath school. We're going to go back there. We didn't make it this far in our Sabbath school. I was a little worried maybe you're going to spoil my sermon, but no, we only got to verse 3. This is all the way in verse 31. So, and we're going to start in verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Does he understand what you're going through, what I'm going through? Perfectly well. He gives power to the weak. That's good. I need that. And to those who have no might, I'm there. He increases strength. Thank you. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. There you go. And the young men shall utterly fall. Happens. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Ah, there's my ticket. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Yeah. God knows what's going on in our lives. God knows what's going on in my life. I want to read a passage from Steps to Christ that I thought, as I read and as I studied for this and looked at this and went, ah, that is beautifully said. Can I share that with you? That'd be okay? Good. So, I'm a teacher and not a pastor. Just so you know, there's a difference. When the teacher asks a question, they kind of looking for an answer. When a pastor asks a question, it's rhetorical. So, thank you. That's a subtle difference, but it's important. From the stars that are in their trackless courses, through space, follow from age to age their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. And God cares for everything and sustains everything that He has created. He also upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity. At the same time, cares for the wants of the little brown sparrow that sings its humble song without fear. When men go forth to daily toil, and when they engage in prayer, when they lie down at night, and when they rise in the morning, the rich man feasts in his palace, and when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the Heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God does not notice. There is no smile that He does not mark. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment as now. For everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of cares, or overwhelmed by their weight. We would now enjoy a rest of soul in which many have been long been strangers. Page 86. And I read that and went, yeah, that's true. That's true. And it said something to me. Maybe it says something to you too. Are there some texts about my kids? Yeah. I'll bet you guys know some of these. Proverbs 22:6. So, Mike, can I have faith? I have hope that my kids are important. Yeah. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, you guys know this, you could quote it to me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Matthew 19:14. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. And Jesus said, we know the story, the disciples are keeping the kids away from Jesus. And Jesus says, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Yep. 3 John 1:4. We don't often read from 3 John. Let's pop over there to that little book. 3 John 1:4 in fact what a group of people said and then were silent. They had said everything they wanted to say right then, and it was exactly this. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I came down as I looked at pulling this all together, I was very scattered. Told my wife this morning, pray, because this morning I'm feeling very scattered. What is the point? What is the point? The point is this. I don't have hope in any of this stuff around me. My church, my bank account, myself, my government, fill in the list. There's a whole bunch more things I could have mentioned. Those provide me no hope. And yet I do have hopes and dreams and desires, and I have anxieties and I have concerns and I have things that weigh me down. And what is the solution? Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul was beginning his letter with a greeting, and it reads like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. As I thought, that's the point. That is what I need. That is what I need to hear this morning. I hope that is what you hear this morning. That all that other stuff that weighs in on us, weighs in on me, I need to remember that Jesus is, in fact, my hope. He knows all the stuff going on in my life. He knows all the stuff going on in your life better than you do. And he doesn't cast stones at me. He doesn't cast stones at you. So, he is our hope. 1 Peter 1:3, let's drive it home just a little more. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is my hope. So when on days that I'm feeling, maybe you don't feel this, so I'll just talk to myself. On the days that I am feeling pretty discouraged, and maybe I can't even put my finger quite on what it is that is dragging me down, I need to do better at remembering that one real fact. Jesus has it. He has me. He has it under control. He is my hope. Not only in the big things, salvation and all of that stuff. Yeah, he's got that. I don't struggle with that. What I struggle with oftentimes is he's got the little things too. Those little things start to seem really big to me. And Jesus is my hope, not only in the big things, but also in the little things. Got it. I want to end this morning with that great hope that we all have, that I look forward to, and I imagine you do too. The one that we did mention in the group is I hope that Jesus comes very soon. Okay. I look forward to the day when Jesus and I can look face to face, eye to eye, man to man, and have a conversation, and I'm going to so love that. And it is coming soon. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Let's turn there real quick. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. It's my hope for you this morning. It's my hope for me that I allow Jesus to take care of the big stuff, the little stuff, and that each one of us gets to have those conversations with Jesus, eye to eye, face to face, in person. You know what he's going to tell you? I know what he's going to tell you. He's going to say, I love you, and I have loved you all along. That you are so important to me that I want to spend eternity with you, each person here. But we're all going to hear it individually. It's going to be spoken to your face, eye to eye. I want to spend eternity with you. We are going to have an amazing time together. It's my hope.
We stand for our closing hymn, 214, We Have This Hope. And I'm much more hopeful, Doug, thank you.
Let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, this morning, thank you. Thank you for sharing with me, and perhaps with others, how much you love us and how much we can have hope in you. And if I've messed it up at all in the presentation or the words that I've spoken, please correct it in the minds of the folks that are hearing so that they know clearly how much you love each one. Father, as we go from here, I ask that you go with us, keep us all safe, help us to have an amazing Sabbath and as we head through our week, we ask that you bring us into contact with people that we can share the hope that we have and share it with them. In Jesus' name, amen.